right. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us at Southwest Central Church of Christ via Facebook Live. For those of you who are visiting from other states or from different parts of the city, my name is Steve Sargent, and I am the minister of this wonderful congregation. I see so many of you joining in right now. I can see people who are joining live. And man, we are so glad to see people logging in to be a part of our community, a part of our gathering today. I know that some of you are online wizards and find that this live feed thing is no big deal at all. You can do this in your sleep. I know that some of you finally joined Facebook just so you could join these virtual gatherings. And even though you promised yourself that you would never, ever in a million years get a social media account, you did it for this very reason, and we are very thankful for that. I also know that there are others of us, that there are people who have a landline up to their ear at this moment while the person on the other end of the phone is holding up that phone to the computer screen just so the one on the landline phone can be a part of this service too. So welcome, everybody who's watching today and is checking in. We're so glad that you're here. This is typically the part of the service where we ask you to fill out those blue cards to let us know that you're here, what updates you may have, but not today. If you are logging into Facebook, then I can see your presence. If there are other people with you, though, that are listening, joining you around your computer or your iPad, will you just type in their name, whoever is joining you today, to let us know who is there. Well, who knows how long we have to meet this week? I have no idea. It could be a month. It could be 6 months. We don't know. What we do know is that quarantine and separation does not stop us from being a congregation. It doesn't stop us from caring for one another. It does not stop us from meeting for worship. And it will be different for a while and probably quite a while. In the meantime, here we go. We're going to do this. We're going to trust God moving forward. We're going to name it. We're going to embrace whatever we've got. Well, what we've got today is my family. Chelsea and Cora are here, and Brent Spivey is here. These are the four people in your auditorium this morning, and we are your worship team. How about that? It's the four of us together. So here's the plan for this very simple service. We're going to read a psalm, so you can go ahead and get your Bible ready for that. We're going to sing a few short songs. Brent will lead us in those. You are welcome to sing along right from where you're at. If you don't sing very loud in church and you are at your apartment or at your home all by yourself, now is your chance to sing as loud as you possibly can, and no one will know any different. If you prefer, Brent, just to sing the words over you as a prayer of sorts, that is just fine as well. My daughter Cora is going to come up and pray the Lord's Prayer. We'll have a children's moment. Parents, during that time, you can grab that packet in the mail. Hopefully you received by now. Grab some crowns as well. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll have a reading from 1 Peter. I will preach from that text for a few minutes. We're going to break bread and drink from the cup together. If you have any bread, and I promise you any bread will do, and if you have some grape juice or any kind of drink ready to go, any of that will do. Chelsea will lead us at the table. We'll talk about the offering. I'll share any family matters with you, and we'll have a benediction. As a way to mark the time that we will physically be away from each other, each week I'm going to light a candle. A candle in many faith traditions is a visual reminder that God's presence is with us here and now. That's what we'll do week by week. Hopefully we won't have to do too many of these, but it's a way to remind us that even here, even now, even still, God and Jesus is very near. Each week during our services, we'll read from the Psalms. as we typically do every single Sunday. We're going to continue that. If there is a specific psalm that speaks to you during these days and during these times, please leave a note in the comment section, and we will try to read some of those psalms during upcoming services. But when I have turned to these weeks, and this last week specifically is Psalm 46, you're welcome to follow along in your Bible or simply listen. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fail. God will help her when morning dawns. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's worship together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. This week I mailed and emailed all the parents with younger children a prayer sheet. In fact, the whole congregation should have received a copy of this if you were on the email distribution list. This is a special prayer sheet for you, our younger friends. I'm thinking of people like Nora and Ruby and Maggie and Cora and Layla, Luke, Lily, Oscar. I'm thinking of Hadley and Judson. I'm thinking of Jackie's young friends. If you received one of these coloring sheets, if you will get that now from your parent or your guardian, you can color on these during my sermon in a few moments. You can draw on it. You can write out whatever you are feeling these days. So parents and guardians, if you will, grab those sheets, please, and hand them to your children in just a moment. Have someone in your family read the prayer out loud. And then for a minute or so, talk about the words or the phrases in the prayer that bring you comfort or joy or even amazement. I'm going to do the same thing with my family in a moment. At church, if you have the copy of the prayer that you got in the email, you can do the same. And just a bit, I will come and read that prayer over us. And while we do this for the next minute or two, Brent is going to sing another song over us. Let's do that now. Here's the prayer from that coloring sheet. Holy God, you are with us. From the spinning planets in our sky to the tiniest microbe that lives on the tiniest paw of the tiniest mouse. You care for creation and you care for us. Whether we are out in the world or tucked inside at home, we know that you are as close as the air we breathe. Thank you for being our friend and our comforter. And together we say, Amen. Well, if you've been with us since the beginning of January, you know that we have been in a series in the book of John about God and our neighborhood. We're pausing that, at least for this week. I'm not sure what's going to happen next week. We'll figure that part out. Instead, a short sermon today from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That will be our text today. You are welcome to follow along in your Bibles if you would like. It goes like this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Let's pray together. Oh God, it's to that grace and peace that we cling to and that we hope for this morning. And so by your goodness and grace, move us, teach us, shape us in ways that you see fit. And would you pour through me the gift of preaching this morning by your Spirit? It's because of Jesus we pray and do all things. Amen. It's been a quite last 2 weeks, hasn't it? It's crazy to think how much has changed, how much has been disrupted. We've learned what items at HEB are priorities. We've learned about new Netflix shows, and we give thanks that Frozen 2 was released on Disney Plus early. We've learned to office from home. We have learned new phrases like social distancing and flatten the curve. We've learned about medical treatment and resources that we did not know about before now. We've gotten better at personal hygiene, even if our hands are a bit raw now from using so much hand sanitizer. We're going to learn how to homeschool our kids or to teach our students online. We're going to learn how to do church a bit differently for some time. We've spent more time indoors than we prefer. We've lost clients and paused jobs and got laid off from work. We're concerned about forthcoming bills and aging parents and what ongoing anxiety may do to our children in the long run. We are afraid. We have grieved. We've gotten angry. We've covered our eyes. We've cried from those eyes. We've turned off our news feed when we just couldn't read anymore. We've hunted for signs of turned corners. We have suffered. We've sought Jesus or tried to. We've cracked open our Bibles or tried to. And we've prayed. We've at least done that, even if praying has felt a bit like preaching to an empty auditorium, wondering if there's anyone out there at all listening. Last Monday morning, I woke at 5:40 in the a.m. with you on my mind. Knowing our church doors would be kept locked on Sunday morning, I wonder how in the world a congregation can have community and communion when the closest you can get to one another is 6 feet away or through an iPad screen or by a phone call. I began fretting over preaching to a vacant room without Charles's amen, brother, to confirm what I've just said, without Jesse standing up to testify from his seat, without Maggie answering my spur-of-the-moment questions, without Lupe's soul engaged, without Kay's head nodding, without Caleb's getting us ready to stand and sing, without guests becoming friends, without Bernadine sitting there, or Joe sitting there, or Alex there, or Mercy there on the aisle, or Dorian and Xander there, or Ruth, or King and Dan up in the booth, and Gussie and Sarah and Betty and Ken and Casey and the girls. How in the world can our congregation survive when we cannot be in close proximity with one another? How in the world can individual persons in our congregation make it on their own when I know that being with the church every Sunday is the thing that gets them through their week? The church is scattered to the four winds, pieces of the puzzle dropped and lost and missing, and I don't know if I can put it back all together again. A few minutes before my daughter Cora woke up at 7 and crawled into our bed, My mind and my heart angled toward 1 Peter. I don't know if my grasping for straws finally put it there, or God's spirit, or an angel who wrestled with me for a whole hour. But any way it came, I'll take it. Because in an age without high-speed internet, the writer of 1 Peter pens a letter to small groups of people who are spread across a huge swath of land about the size of Texas. If you've driven through rural Texas on a Sunday morning, you've seen country churches with maybe 8 vehicles sitting outside, half of which are Ford F-350s, and maybe 15 people meeting inside those walls. They meet because they love Jesus. Same with the folks addressed in our letter this morning, except that they don't meet in bricked church buildings. They meet in homes and in living rooms and around kitchen tables. They meet as tiny house churches, and at least 5 tiny house churches are sprinkled across the regions listed here in verse 1, separated by miles and miles. Remarkably, the house churches are also connected, because once the letter is read by these couple of Christians in this house, it is forwarded along via FedEx to the tiny house church in the province next door, and so on, until the words of 1 Peter have reached the hands and the ears of the few folks who gather under the name of Jesus. It's a bizarre time for the first readers of this letter to be a Christian. They are not necessarily persecuted in the way that we think of persecution, dying for their faith and all that. A better way to think of it is that they are alienated. They are a minority group. They are isolated from the rest of society. They are eyeballed with suspicion and distaste because it is a peculiar collection of people made up mostly of wives without their husbands and of slaves. Since they quietly subvert social norms, they are thought of as a cult by outsiders. They are foreigners in their own land, eating flesh and drinking blood and calling each other brother and sister certainly does not help. All that, of course, has ramifications on family of origin and job opportunities, not to mention cultural benefits and societal structures. They are suffering hardships. When to these tiny house churches nothing seems to go their way, and when fear consumes their day and they question whether any of this is worth it at all, and they wonder whether there will even be a church to meet at tomorrow, or will it all come crumbling down, the author of 1 Peter opens his letter to the congregations this way: I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as strangers in the provinces of Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. What is he saying here at the very beginning? He is reminding his fellow believers and doubters that not one of them is missing, not one of them is forgotten. You, he says, you are chosen by God, handpicked from the very start of all things, and God the Father has his loving eye on you. He is reminding them that God's Spirit is within them, the Spirit that makes them holy and sacred and blessed. No one and no thing and no person or entity or hidden disease can ever take that away, he says. He is reminding them that Jesus, the one who suffered for them, now also suffers with them and spurs them onward. You were baptized into this name, and now there is work to be done. There is life to live, he says. Admittedly, none of these reminders changes their immediate socioeconomic situation, their forced social distancing predicament they find themselves in. The pressing reality of life seems to defy all of that. But what the letter does do, one of several things actually, is to say that the scattered believers, is to say to the scattered believers that they are not alone. No matter how many people are currently in their line of sight, no matter how long the dire circumstances may last, there are other people who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who are in the same churning seas, in the same lurching boat as you. This is the message we have to keep telling ourselves and each other. We have to keep hearing this word, especially in times of trial and suffering, especially now when seclusion and remoteness is our foreseeable norm. Isolation, even for us introvert pastors, will poke everlasting holes in our souls more than we realize, I'm afraid. We must proactively decide to do something different, every one of us. How can we do that from a distance? We are both required and invited to change how we care for one another and how we care for our neighbors. It calls for creativity and intentionality. So here is your work today, church. Three things. Look around the church auditorium, the one that you can visualize in your mind right now. Who is the first person from this congregation that pops into your head? Who is it that you see very first? Contact them this week. Text them or call them. FaceTime them. Check up on them. Ask how they're doing. Do they need anything? Second, do the same with the last person that pops into your mind. Look around the auditorium again. Someone from the congregation that you may not know very well or don't spend time with. Send them an email or send them a letter. Tell them that you are thinking of them, praying for them during these wild times. And then third, do the same with a neighbor who may or may not go to church, who may or may not even believe in God. Drop a surprise care package off at their front door while you are on your I've got to get out of the house walk. Take a picture of the book you're reading, the one that they let you borrow a few months ago, and text them a picture of it. If you must leave your apartment to go restock on groceries, ask your neighbor if you can grab a few things for them. We do all this because no one's life is dispensable. No one is worth forgetting. With purpose and with hope, you scattered church, live into your baptized life. As I finish, I want to be absolutely clear that our self-quarantine from the coronavirus is different than that of first or second century Christians who were alienated because they went to church. What is the same, my friends, on the other side of this computer screen, is that we hear and trust that even in our isolation and distance from one another, we too are still chosen by the living God, still made holy by God's Spirit, and still called to be obedient and act in service to one another. By the Christ who lived and died to awaken with us a newness that we could not create for ourselves. Thanks be to God for that. This, my friends, is our common hope, and it's the basis of our common faith. It's also the reason why we can break bread and share the cup with one another, even from a great distance. So how are we going to do that? First, we grab whatever you have to use in your home. Do you have bread? Do you have tortillas, some crackers? Get those. Do you have any grape juice, any leftover wine from last night's meal? Water will work too. Get that. Second, we recognize that people in our congregation are about to do the exact same thing that you are. The body of Christ stretches beyond time and space, reaching further than we will ever know. And third, we will listen to a word about the table, a centering focus about Christ and the bread and the cup. Chelsea is going to come and do that right now.
Good morning. This is the first time that I've done communion virtually, which I am going to guess many of you are in the same spot with that. And so I do kind of have the traditional, at least that we use here in our congregation. So like Steve said, whatever you have is perfect. And so gather that and gather that with your family. I have a few thoughts, and then I am going to pray. And then feel free to eat and drink. And I am going to end with a poem, a prayer. So the first two words that have really been sitting on me as I've been thinking about taking communion with all of you is hope and trust, which I believe are daily acts of surrendering to God. And God's great sacrifice through us on the cross fills me with hope and draws me into trusting him, specifically during this time of uncertainty, in this time that we don't know how long it's going to stretch forward. But we do have a God who knows suffering, and knows suffering very intimately. And so I've been looking forward to this moment to eat and drink with you, because I know that brothers and sisters all over the world are doing that this morning. I know that each of you are sitting in your homes joining me in this, and that brings me comfort since we cannot physically be together. And so I am going to pray over whatever we have to eat and to drink this morning, and then please eat and drink with your family as I conclude with a poem after that. Father God, thank you for being ours. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for all of us on the cross with your body. And may we draw together in our homes and in a larger sense through this communion that brings us together in remembrance of you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Please eat and drink. I'm going to be concluding with this poem, this prayer from Gorillas of Grace by Ted Loiter, which I'm sure some of you are very familiar with. Give me hope, Lord, and remind me of your steady power and gracious purposes that I may live fully. Renew my faith that the earth is not destined for dust and darkness, but for frolicking life and deep joy, that being set free from my anxieties for the future, I may take the risk of love today. We are not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. Love y'all.
If you were just getting started in conversations about the bread and cup with one another, or even just spent further time just in your own thoughts, if you're by yourself, you can definitely continue that at the conclusion of our service together. That is just fine for you to do that. Well, we have been given the bread and the cup by Christ. And so we, in turn, also give. One way that you can do that, of course, is with your money, with our money to the work of this congregation. Our expenses and budgets still need to be met. Just because we're meeting virtually doesn't mean our costs and commitments to each other and to this neighborhood have gone way down. And even though I am not Deep Pipes, I am saying that now is the time that you can give your money. You can drop a check or some cash in the mail, and that will make it to our front door. We'll take care of it from there. You can also go online to give at swcentral.org/give. I'll post that online as well on this Facebook page a little bit later today. To remind you, we'll include that in our upcoming newsletters to you. But please remember your financial commitments to the work of this congregation and neighborhood as well. Well, I hope that you're doing okay. I hope that you are staying well and staying safe and mostly staying away from each other, as we have all been asked to do. I have definitely missed you this morning. It is not the same looking out and seeing only a couple of people in here. I have definitely missed your presence. Your spirit, though, encourages me greatly. I do want to let you know that if you have any prayer needs or prayer requests or any celebrations that you want to share, you can do one of two things. You can type it into the comments section so that everybody in this congregation can read and can be in prayer for you. Or if you want to send me just a private messenger message that I can pass along to our shepherds, I can definitely do that. Either one of those ways is just fine. A quick word about our shepherds. I want to let you know that they have indeed been praying for you continuously during this crazy time. I know that they have been working down the phone tree, the phone list to check up on you. I know that they have been steadfast in that. I'm going to also ask that you pray for them also too, please. Not meeting together as a body is a great concern and a stressor to them specifically. And they love you and they care for you and they want this body to be well. So would you pray for them as well, please? I would appreciate that. Well, our song during this Lenten season has been A Common Love, and that is a song that's quite appropriate, more than I could have envisioned maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago when I chose to sing this song during Lent. So Brent, in a moment, is going to come forward and sing this song. You are welcome to sing aloud where you are as well, of course. But first, hear this benediction. And then after our song, we will go forth. As our text says today, to a scattered people chosen by God, to a scattered people made holy by the Spirit, and to a scattered people made whole by the blood of Jesus, may grace and peace be multiplied to us all. And together we say, amen.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
Grace and peace to you all. Love you all. Take care, friends.